In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I've told you many times about reading the Scriptures, how important it is to read them correctly, to read them with the right intent, with the right understanding, to read them for what they will say to you, because the Lord indeed speaks to us through the Holy Scriptures. Not only does He tell us dogmatic truths about Himself, but He teaches us about ourselves. He teaches us about how He enlightens us. He gives us instructions, sometimes explicit instructions, but other times instructions through a story, through an interpretation that He will give you as you read the Scriptures. Now, of course, you can't get any of these things unless you read the Scriptures regularly. So I admonish you, read them often, and read them with expectation, not for trivial things that the Lord will tell you what kind of car to buy or whether to take a job or not. That's what foolish people think the Scriptures tell them. No, the Scriptures are meant to tell you about God and about yourself. Those are the two things you must learn to save your soul. If you don't learn about God, then how can you know how to be healed? How can you reach out to the one who heals? But if you don't know about yourself, then you go along thinking like most of the world, things are basically okay. But inside we know that they're not, and that's why our Lord came to save us, to make things right. So the Scriptures will teach us about ourselves and about God if we listen, if we read carefully. Now the New Testament, especially, every single word has to do with the saving of the soul, has to do with how Jesus Christ came to change us, and what we must do, and what He has done. But you must read carefully. Now here we have a story. We know it well, the 5 loaves, the 2 fish, how Jesus fed a multitude of over 5,000 men, and besides women and children, so a huge gathering. We know the story. Everybody knows the story. People who are not Christians know this story. And it's historical fact. But the story has meaning for the soul if you listen. Now Jesus was in a desert place. People were following Him. People knew about Him. They knew He would heal the sick. So they brought their sick out to Him. And He spoke with words of power and grace that they never heard from their teachers, from the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So people were attracted to Him. And so they were out in this desert place, many, many people, and they basically lost track of time. And there was an enormous amount of people with no food, no water. And it was late, it was the end of the day. People needed to eat, to get something to drink. But there was no place to buy. Not in the desert, they would have to go back into the villages. So they'd have to walk back into the villages to eat. There's no food there. So the disciples say to the Lord, "This is a desert place. It's a desolate place. There's no food here. Send the multitude away so that they can get something to eat in the villages." Now, what is this desert place? I submit to you that this desert place is a place that you and I have been in before. And I submit to you also that we have also gone into the villages to buy food instead of staying in that place to be fed by Christ. Because only moments later, what did Christ say? "You give them to eat. But we've only got a little bit of food. You give them to eat anyway." He prays to His Father, blesses the food, and of course it multiplies beyond what it originally was, such that there was such an excess that there were 12 baskets full of food, leftovers. In a desert place, a place where there's no food. Now, I submit to you this desert place is a place we've been. That is a place when we're lonely, a place when we're unsure, a place when life is difficult, a place when it's hard to be a Christian. Perhaps it's even hard to believe. Perhaps it's hard to deal with some stress that you are going through, either acute or ongoing, and you're tired. And in this desert place, if you stay and recline on the grass, as the Lord said, rest in Him, that is, don't try to do things on your own, the Lord will come to speak to you. The Lord will feed you in abundance, over what you anticipated, over what you need. But only if you stay in this place. But a desert place is hot, dusty, you get tired. When it's nighttime, it gets cold. There might be fear of wild animals. It's not a safe place. Or at least we won't feel safe in such a place. So we would want to go to the village, huh? What is the village? The village is when we distract ourselves with worldly things. Instead of praying, begging the Lord to help us when we're in a condition and spot, what do? Turn on the television. That's a village. Have something to drink. That's a village. Entertain ourselves in some way. Put it out of our minds. In another way, a village can be when we react in anger towards someone because it's difficult when we have somebody do something to us. We want to react. We don't see the purpose to stay and not say anything to this person or not react in some way. Maybe we're worried that they're going to take our job or that something is going to befall us because of their maneuverings. So what do we want to do? We want to protect ourselves. We want to do something on our own to look out for ourselves. But the Lord has told us to stay, to recline on the grass, to wait for Him to feed us. This is similar to what the Lord says, "Behold, the lilies of the field, they don't toil, nor do they spin, and yet your Father gives everything to feed them." Why should we worry? Well, we shouldn't worry. But we're often in a desert place where we worry quite a bit. And if we stay, then the Lord will enlighten us, give us above and beyond what we need, what we even anticipate needing. However, lamentably, most of the time, what do? We do go to the village. We do something to relieve ourselves of our own power. I gave you some examples. There are multiple other examples. We go to the village instead of staying in the desert. The essence of Christianity is to wait on God so that He will heal us. But He won't heal someone who is not waiting. He won't help someone who does not ask. You have to stay and ask. And also, because of certain aspects of our character, our forgetfulness, our tendency to become jaded about things even if they are holy, our tendency to not be very thankful about things, our tendency to forget about things that are holy, the Lord makes us wait for things. Not because of cruelty, not because it's a game, but because if we wait, then when we can appreciate the grace, we can withhold and hold on to it. The Lord gives us grace all the time, but we don't have the capacity to hold it until we have gone through the desert place. So many of us want to run away from that place, want to run away from difficulties, want to run away from our feelings, want to run away from struggle. The desert place is when you have to say your prayers and you don't feel like it. The desert place is when you are tired. Tired of struggling and yet you continue to struggle. The Lord is in this place. Right here in the Scriptures we see it. The disciples, as it were, are sort of acting like we would act. We act most of the time. There's a problem. We got to do something. Let's go do something now. But the Lord says, You don't need to do anything. They'll be fed right now. I'll give you and they'll eat. Now, of course, there are many other deep meanings in this parable or in this story, which is like a parable as well. For instance, the disciples gave to eat. The Lord passed His ministry to the disciples. The Lord is no longer walking the earth, teaching multitudes. He leaves that to His disciples, to His bishops and His priests. And when the 12 baskets were left, one for each apostle. The equality of the ministry of the apostles, something which has been forgotten, especially in Rome, forgotten that there's equality of the ministry of bishops. But those are more technical points. It's good to know. But the most important thing to know is, the Lord is telling you, are you going to stay and allow me to feed you? Or are you going to look around and use your senses and say, I'm far away from the village. I don't have anything to eat. It's getting to be nighttime. I don't have anything to drink. I'm going to get cold. There might be animals. I've got to do something right now for myself. The Lord will save you. You don't need to save yourself. You need to beg the Lord to help save you. And He will. We do so much based upon our own intelligence, our own actions, our own ideas. It's funny how we keep following our own ideas when we see that they're quite often wrong. We're not very reliable, and yet we rely on ourselves. And the Lord is completely reliable, and we don't rely on Him. Well, what's wrong with this picture? The Lord wants you to stay in the desert place. Now, some of you don't stay very long at all in the desert place because you're immediately flitting off to something else to distract yourself from the task at hand, which is the perfection of the soul. It's not easy to perfect the soul. It's not fun. It's difficult. And you can be lonely. And you can feel feelings of despair and depression, sadness. You must work through all these things by begging the Lord to help you, instead of running away from these feelings with whatever thing you can do to medicate these feelings away. Stay in the desert, brothers and sisters. Allow the Lord to feed you. Now, perhaps some people of that large congregation, perhaps some people did go into the village because they thought, I've got to eat. And so before the disciples were able to get to them, they had already gone to the villages. And they got something to eat that day. They did not see a miracle. They didn't have their faith increased because they missed it. How many times do we miss the miracle? I would say quite a few. Many, many times. On a daily basis, we miss God's grace because we're looking in another direction. God's grace is free, but it is not cheap. It takes effort to retain His grace. It takes courage to retain His grace. It takes an ordering of the priorities in your life along the tenets of the gospel to retain His grace. Brothers and sisters, stay in the desert because we'll be fed. God will help you if you listen and you wait on Him. Amen.